We're going to start today. We're going to take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to go to verse 7. So I wanted to share today on, since it is Pentecost, a little history of what Pentecost is, what it means. And to figure that out, we have to start pretty much in the beginning. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And so in that verse we have two things. We have man was formed of the dust of the ground, and that's our physical component. And we have the fact that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that's our soul life part. And if you go to chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And so that's the third component, right? God's own image. God is spirit. And when he created man, he created them body, soul, and spirit, right? He created them body, soul, and spirit. And it was the spirit part that gave man a direct connection to God. That gave him a direct connection to God and the power of God. That was God's intention for man from the beginning, was to have body, soul, and spirit. In chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die." I can hear everybody when I do that now. That's nice. Yeah, thou shalt surely die, right? And the death that God was referring to here would be that loss of spirit, the loss of the spirit part, a severing of that direct connection between man and God. And from that day forward, man would be incomplete. He would just be body and soul only. And that is the death that Adam and Eve died when they chose to disobey God. Chapter 3, verse 14. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, deceiving man and causing them to sin, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So God, this was the first sort of mentioning of a plan that God had to redeem mankind. God put a plan into place for a redeemer so that we could once again have a connection with him, that we could be whole once more. We'll see how Pentecost marks the beginning of that return to wholeness once again. But what is Pentecost? What does it mean? And to understand that, we must know what Passover is, because Pentecost is linked to Passover. So go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. So this is where we're going to learn what Passover is. Verse 3 says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him take his neighbor next unto his house, take it according to the number the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So this would be the first month of their calendar, which we know to be Nisan. And on the 14th day, they were to kill this lamb. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And so they were to take the blood and put it on their doors. Why? Well, verse 11 says, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And so Israel was enslaved to the Egyptians. They were being persecuted, treated very poorly, and made to work. And this was to be the final of the 10 plagues that was wrought upon Egypt so that God's people might be set free, right? And that was the purpose, so that God's people would be set free. And we're going to see sort of a parallel to that later. And death would pass over them, hence the name of the feast, the Passover. So that's what the Passover was. Go to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6. And as we know, the firstborn of all the Egyptians died, and then Pharaoh let the people go. They were set free. And Israel didn't suffer any harm because they followed God's instruction for the Passover. Leviticus 23, verse 6. This is also talking about the month of Nisan here. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days must you eat unleavened bread. So on the 14th, they were to kill the lamb. On the 15th started the feast of unleavened bread. The first day you shall have a holy convocation. So that was like a special Sabbath. It was a holy day. So on the 15th, that's the holy day. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. So the first day and the seventh day are special days. They're holidays, right? The 15th and then the seventh day, which would be the 21st. That period is known as Passover, and also known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So when you see those two things in the Bible, they're the same. Because the 14th of Nisan would fall on a different day of each week, right? Everybody has a birthday, right? Whatever your birthday is, mine is April 15th. April 15th isn't on a Monday every year. It changes. So the 14th of Nisan would change every year. But because there were 7 days in the feast, the 15th through the 21st, it always covered a Saturday. Okay, so there was always at least one Saturday in that span, which is their regular Sabbath day. Okay, and that's important. There's a regular Sabbath day somewhere in there. Verse 9. And the Lord spoke to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I shall give unto you, and you shall reap the harvest thereof, this is referring to the barley harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest unto the priest. So they were supposed to bring a big sheaf of barley and bring it to the priest. And he, verse 11, shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. And on the morrow, the next day, after the Sabbath, that's when the priest will wave it. OK, Okay? So that Sabbath is that Saturday. It falls somewhere in there. And on the day after that Sabbath, they're to go and wave a little wave offering for God. So somewhere between the 15th and the 21st, they do a little wavy job. Why does that matter, you ask? Because it marks the start of when they start counting for Pentecost. Okay? That's when they would start counting Pentecost. Verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. Told you. From the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. So that's 7 Sabbaths. A Sabbath falls every week, so that's 7 weeks. Verse 16, even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days. So they knew their math, right? 7 times 7 is 49. One more day after the morrow is the 50th day. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Now this corresponded to the wheat harvest as well. So the first harvest, waving the sheaf, barley, this coincided with the wheat harvest 50 days later. So they were to bake some bread, 2 loaves. And you shall offer the bread with 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offerings, and even an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering and 2 lambs of the first year for a peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering. So they were going to pick up the loaves and wave the loaves around. Before the Lord with the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on that selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation there unto you, and you shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And so this section covers what's known as the Feast of Weeks, right? It's a week of weeks. 7 weeks. There are 7 days in a week. So they called it the Week of Weeks because there were 7 of them. And that 50th day, the day after that, was to be Pentecost. And it was also another holy day. So the Saturday, each one of those weeks would end on the Saturday, and then that 50th day would be a holy day. So for them, they got back-to-back Sabbaths for Pentecost. Jewish tradition says that this day also marks the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. If you go to Exodus 19:1, there is a bit of scripture to suggest that this is true. It does not say exactly in the word that this is the case, but the Jewish people have always recognized it this way, so culturally it seems to have been passed down since then. Exodus 19:1, it says, in the 3rd month, so if the 1st month was Nisan and you count 50 days, you would be in the 3rd month. In the 3rd month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And we know that they camped out at Mount Sinai, and that's where the 10 commandments were given to the people. And so again, Jewish tradition says that Pentecost was also the day that God gave the law to his people. So armed with all of that historical knowledge, we can see just how amazing God's plan and timing was in all that he did for us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. So we need Passover because Passover marks when Pentecost starts counting, that Saturday somewhere in that Feast of Passover. And Pentecost, as we know, is the birthday of the church in the New Testament times. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our what? Passover, is sacrificed for us. So Jesus Christ was our Passover. He was our Passover. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Right? And that's the parallel, obviously, to the Old Testament Passover, that Christ was to be our Passover lamb. And just like they were supposed to pick a lamb without blemish and spot, Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son. He knew no sin. He was without blemish and spot, holy. And so he could become our Passover lamb. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Right? God had planned it all along. He knew that mankind would sin. He knew that we would need a redeemer. And so God's plan, he knew it from the very beginning of time. And here, at this time, Jesus Christ had just been crucified not too long ago. So he was made manifest in these last times for you, who by him do we believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so mankind could be born again, right? Because they had died. They had lost that spirit. And they could be born again and have that spirit life again. And as we know, Jesus Christ gave his life for us, for you and for me, on the 14th of Nisan. He was truly and literally the Passover lamb for us at the start of Passover. He was raised again 3 days later on a Saturday. And so that is the Saturday that fell in the Passover range that year. And so from that day forward, we would be counting toward Pentecost. That day that he got up would have been the next day, that Sunday, would have been the wave offering day that they had done. You know, when everybody came running to the sepulcher to see if he was in there, that same day, the wave offering was taking place. And the Feast of Weeks was starting to count. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 1. So what everybody calls Easter Sunday, that would have been the day that the wave offering was made and started counting toward Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. We know that Theophilus is the beloved of God, so this is addressed to us. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, or after his death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, how many days? 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And it wouldn't be many days hence. He was already be seen for 40 days, so it'd be 10 more days till this happened. That would be Pentecost. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. They asked him, is this the time that you're going to, you know, because they honestly thought that Jesus Christ was king. They thought he was bringing a literal kingdom to pass on earth. And he said, you know, that's not for you to really know, but what you will receive is power. You know, they were looking for a kingdom. They were looking for power of their own. And he said, you will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So the resurrected Christ gathers together with his apostles to let them know what was coming, and then he ascends. And it was to be not many days hence. You know, obviously Jesus Christ by revelation knew what God had planned, that it would be on the day of Pentecost. So go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, not many days hence, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Right? And this is the initial outpouring of Holy Spirit. This is the birthday of the church. This is where they were born again for the first time. And how beautiful is God's word? That Passover would be a time that Israel was freed from Egypt, and it would be the time where mankind was freed from death, that they would have the opportunity to have Holy Spirit once again. Pentecost is likely when Israel was given the law, and mankind is given Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, to have a connection with God. That was God's purpose of the law, was to for people to know his will, to know what he wanted. And with Holy Spirit, it was to have a direct connection with God again, to be one with God. Go to verse 41. I just think it's so amazing how God puts that kind of stuff together. Right? Could have been any day, but it all ties so wonderfully with what he had in the Old Testament times. Verse 41. And they that gladly received his word, so after they spoke in tongues, all the people hear them speak in tongues and say, are you guys drunk? What's going on? And Peter gives them this sermon and teaches them about what Jesus Christ had accomplished, what this day meant. And they that gladly received his word, so the ones who listened and paid attention, were baptized. And unto them, or and the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Did I just lose it? All right, I'm going to talk real loud, because I'm almost done. Added unto them about 3,000 souls that same day. So that initial outpouring for those 12, another about 3,000 people also received Holy Spirit. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers, and fear or reverence came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold possessions and goods, and parted them to all as every man had need. And they, all those people who believed, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, with undivided loyalty, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, every day, such as should be saved, those who would believe. And so that's what followed that great day of Pentecost. You know, God's family was back whole with Him. Over 3,000 people, or around 3,000 people, were added to the church. And then daily after that, as they continued to walk out and to believe God's word, and people just continued to hear that word, continued to believe, and continued to get born again. Right? The birthday of the church, we can speak in tongues. We can manifest that Holy Spirit. Right? We were given power from on high. We can worship God the way He wants to be worshiped. Right? We can worship Him in spirit and in truth, the way that He intended for us to do. And we can help other people do the same thing and add to the church. So happy birthday, everybody. I love you guys.